Just a quick question following up on the, I guess, the progressive reclamation and extended mine life. I was just wondering if there is capacity in the current facility for extending beyond the 8 to 10 years of production.
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry Collins speaking. Yes, within the tailings facility, there is capacity to continue to grow if the mine life continues to expand. I don't know at some point in time you would reach the end of that, but that we have capacity to continue on the same facilities beyond the end of that mine life. We also don't know whether that expansion would be continued open pit or whether it may be going underground, because these ore deposits continue below where we are going with the pits. So a lot of variables would have to come into play, but there is capacity to address expansion.
Thank you. Any more, Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll turn it back to Steve Lines.
Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Stephen Lines. I just have a few more minor ones. I think there was a commitment there to during the operations to monitor the cover that's put over the tailings to verify the depth of the active layer. And I understand that that confirmation is, I guess, half of the concern, and the other half is relates to the long-term predictions of global warming and how that may affect the depth of the active layer. So I'm wondering if, as part of that commitment, whether or not the applicant will be keeping itself up to speed with any new studies that come out related to global warming predictions.
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry Connell again. Yes, the company will stay abreast of the current predictions looking forward. The graph I showed you this morning, the map I showed you this morning, is one of those. That's one that's a very aggressive look forward. But we'll continue to keep our eye on where predictions are going. None of us know what the future holds with respect to global warming. But I think it's unlikely that we're going to see no winter in the north at any time in our lifetimes, or even the future lifetimes. So yes, we will keep an eye on that. And yes, we did commit to monitoring and instrumenting that cover to ensure that the cover we put on, that we understand how it's performing, we understand how the ground below it's freezing, where the active layer is. That's part of our commitment. And obviously, if we're ever going to resolve this thickness of cap, we need to get that data to be able to bring back to the board and all the interveners to actually demonstrate that we can pick 2 meters, 3 meters, 4 meters, whatever it be.
Thank you. Any more from staff? Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Stephen Lines. My next question is regarding the difference between the effluent discharge criteria between the Portage Lake and Wally Lake. And there's a couple parameters there for the Wally Lake diffuser that are higher than Portage. But Wally Lake has a lower dilution factor. So I would have thought that the proposed criteria would be lower for that lake, and I was just looking for, I guess, some of the reasons, or to understand the reasons why they're actually higher. Thank you.
Thank you. Applicant. Go ahead.
Okay, I can answer that. This is Valerie Bertrand. The reason why there's a difference in vault is because some of these elements, I believe you're referring to nitrates and ammonia. It's because we have we still meet, I mean, regardless of a vault, we still meet the CCME, or come close to CCME, at 30 meters away from the diffusion point, from the point of the effluent point. But one of the reasons why it's higher, it's because there's less dilution of explosives byproduct in the vault pit. And so that's why the concentrations are predicted to be slightly higher.
Thank you. Any more from staff? Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's Stephen Lyons again. I just have two more quick questions. I may have missed, Mr. Chair, during Mr. Connell's presentation, the reason why chromium is proposed to just be monitored and not regulated. If you could just maybe go over that for me one more time. Thank you.
Thank you, applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Larry Connell. Chromium was discussed during the technical meeting, and it was both in discussions with ourselves, all the technical interveners, and subsequently with Environment Canada. It was recognized that chromium is not likely to be a problem because of the nature of the rock, and as a result, it was decided that chromium is one of those elements where we don't have to regulate it. What we have to do is monitor to make sure that it isn't going to become a problem, it's not going to surprise us. But all of our predictions, all the work we've done to date, indicates that chromium is not likely to become a problem with this specific site, this specific rock. And so there was the agreement that we should just monitor it but not regulate it.
Thank you. Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Stephen Lyons. My last question has three little subparts to it, but maybe Mr. Connell can answer them all at once. And it's in regard to Teardrop Lake. I just wanted to confirm, where the receiving environment was. I don't know if it's Second Portage Lake or wherever the water from Teardrop Lake would end up as or in. I was wondering if there's any containment proposed for Teardrop Lake and if Mr. Connell could maybe propose a frequency for the monitoring of the parameters he's laid out. Thank you.
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry Connell. Teardrop Lake right now naturally drains towards that channel that drains from Third Portage Lake into Second Portage Lake. The intent is that that would be blocked, that we would not have a natural outflow from that small pond, because we're making it into a stormwater collection pond for the site. So what we would do is using the roads that are going to be built around that pond, we would create a raise the elevation in the pond by basically building up the sides using road materials with appropriate barriers against those road materials, and that we would then control and manage the discharge of that water by pumping it, and we would pump it into the arm of Second Portage Lake, which ultimately becomes the tailings impoundment area. And we would manage that control point. So we would then, during periods of pumping, we would propose that, and I don't know if we've been said anywhere, and I'm not sure if we proposed a frequency, but I would propose that that be something in the order of a weekly when we're discharging, something of that nature. But you know, we would take our advice from the board. I'm told that there was a plan in that monitoring plan that outlines the frequency. So we should refer to that rather than my take a wild-ass guess off the top of my head. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any more questions from staff?
Steve? That's all I had, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Carlette Tinley's got a few questions for the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Jack. My first question is just about one of the commitments from the technical meeting pre-hearing conference regarding the list of plans, when they would be revised, and whether that would be submitted before the end of this hearing.
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, there was a commitment made by the company to bring to this hearing a table with a list of those plans and proposed dates for updating them. We do have that with us. Our staff are going through the final culmination of it, and it is our intent that that will be left with the board as a submission as part of this hearing.
Thank you. Got it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My second question is with respect to the 5.6 million liter fuel tank farm that is for the mine site. I believe it's currently a component under the Type B exploration license, and if that component would be, you believe that component would be part of the project for this Type A water license under review?
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry Connell again. He's quite correct. The Type B regional exploration license